this is Jim Crean, and you're listening to Power Rock Podcast with host Jim Madonna. Crank it up.
Hey everyone, Jim Madonna here, your host of Power Rock Podcast.
I would like to welcome you all to yet another episode, bringing you the best interviews from around the globe, from indie to mainstream. And friends, now that we're at 2020, I am super pumped for this year because I got so many great, amazing artists to bring y'all, and today is no different. This is the first interview of 2020, and I am honored to say that I have on the line hard rock guitarist, vocalist, and songwriter, Mr. Jim Crean. Jim, welcome to the show, man.
Long time no see, brother. How you been?
I'm doing great, man. And you say long time no see. Last year at Sharky's, I saw you with your cover band, Hair Nation, and in Liverpool, New York. And I got to tell you, man, I was blown away by the performance. The crowd was rowdy. It was really, really amazing. And I want to thank you, for taking your time to do this interview.
Now you're more than welcome, brother.
Now, you know, we're going to concentrate on a solo project of yours called The London Fog. Why don't you go ahead and give the listeners some history about who Jim Crean is and how this opened up for you to do, you know, your cover stuff and then, of course, your solo stuff. We're going to move on. We're going to ask some questions. We're going to play some tunes and we're going to rock. So I'm going to turn the floor over to you.
This will be my seventh, London Fog's my seventh solo album. So, you know, and it's been a great adventure. I signed with a really cool label called Visionary Noise Records, Micah Jackson, Steve Sussman. They've been great right behind me the whole way. You know, we did a couple of videos that came out for a song, Passion. It was a Rod Stewart song that we covered on the record and, you know, features Carmen Appice, the original drummer for Rod Stewart in the video, and Tony Franklin from The Firm. He also played with Carmine in Blue Murder. And then, me and this French guitar player, Steph Hond, really pretty much made the whole record. It's Steph's an amazing French guitar player. He played with Paul Di'Anno from Iron Maiden. He played with, a lot of bands up in Europe and whatnot. And it's been a wonderful ride. Me and him have been working hard on the whole record. And we're in the process of making some new songs for a new record. So
that's awesome. Before we, you know, get too deep into this, where can people go ahead and purchase your album, The London Fog?
They can get it on my website, jimcrean.net. We just actually signed a distribution deal, so we're working that out right now. But it's located in upstate New York in a lot of places. It's in Texas in a lot of places. But also they can go to Double Trouble Productions and websites and things like that. You can buy it at. So
you can buy it digitally and you can buy it physically.
Yeah, well, digitally, they're working that out, too, right now. It's going to be on Spotify and all that. As a matter of fact, I think it's going to happen this week, so we'll have it all on, all those kind of digital platforms.
That's awesome, man. That's great to hear. I like to see it when people are just, they keep moving forward, man, you know, never giving up, just constantly pursuing their, their dreams and visions.
Well, I mean, it's a tough road being in music, especially in this day and age. It's a lot different than it was, you know, even 10 years ago. But, you know, I mean, if you have a passion for it, it drives you. So, you know, and I've been blessed to be able to play with some of the best and the best in the industry. So, and that's what keeps me going. So
what has it been like keeping up with social media and doing all that networking that you have to do on different platforms? Is that something that you take care of personally, or is it something that you have? I mean, we all have administrators for pages, but do you stay up on top of it the most? How does that work for you?
I mean, I have a street team, but, you know, I mean, some of it I do. It all varies, you know, it's, and depending what it is. Like the Facebook and stuff like that, I pretty much try and stay on top of that, on the websites and all that. So there's so much nowadays access to getting to people's material, which is nice. But yeah, I mean, it's just a constant, you got to constantly keep moving with it or else, you know, it gets stale and people won't come back to it. So,
right. Well, you know, you just made the comment, you know, it's nice, which I totally agree with you. However, do you think it can be a negative form as well?
Yeah. The negative part is, you know, it puts people too in touch with, you know, and sometimes that can be, you know, detrimental, especially if you put out a new record or whatnot. And but the good part about it is it could be in your favor when, you know, you put a new record out and the social media really takes off and really gets behind it. So it's a catch 22. I mean, it has its negatives. You know, when I see people on Facebook fighting and all that stuff and airing out their dirty laundry, I guess they want to call it. And, you know, I don't have time for that. I would just rather promote what I have going on and just kind of let the chips fall. So yeah, it all varies, man. I mean, there's a good and a bad, you know. In this day and age, music is so tough to get out there. You know, years ago, you make a record, it gets distributed, it goes into the stores, it gets played on whatever the radio outlets are, and then there you go. Nowadays, you have to do a lot of that by social networking and getting the right team behind you.
Right on, man. The first track that I would like to talk about on the album, The London Fog, is called Conflicted. Could you let the listeners, or could you give the listeners some history about that song?
But yeah, I mean, it's just a cool tune. I had that song written a couple of years ago, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it was called something else. I really didn't have a name for it, but it was a whole different thing. And then when I was demoing these songs out so that me and Steph could really get going on making the record, I pulled that one back into the mix. And we came up with a totally different vibe to it. And I just basically started writing the words. And that's just really how it fell together. And that's one of the stronger songs on the record. It's got Vinny Appice from Dio Black Sabbath on drums. It's got, of course, it's got Steph Hond on it. It's and it's got A.D. Zimmer, who also plays with me in the Hair Nation band. And Mitch Perry played guitar on it as well.
He
played
a song
from, you know, Michael Schenker Group to Alice. You know, that, yeah, so it's the whole album star-studded like that. So
very cool. Well, I'm going to tell you what, Jim. Let's go ahead and let the listeners hear Conflicted on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
We'll be right back.
All right, welcome back. We are with Jim Crean. Jim, I got to tell you, man, what an amazing song. I like the way that you put your heart into telling me what the song was about. You know, I had gone ahead and I had listened to this entire album that you have here, and I honestly had a hard time choosing the songs that I wanted, that I felt best illustrated or showed who you were as a rock and roller, you know, because you're a very versatile musician. And in my opinion, but I like that heavier side of what you do.
I get that a lot. You know, I really do. I get that a lot. You know, my third album was, called The Velvet Crush, and it's a great album. I love it. But when I released it, a lot of my metal fans, hard rock fans, were a little bit taken back. Like, you know, they thought it was, you know, a little different than what I was normally doing, you know, it had more of an AOR feel to it. And then I did my follow-up album after that, which was called Insatiable on Rocker Records, which is Karma Into Pieces label. And I made it more heavier edged, you know, more hair metal type sounding. And then this album, I went even one step further and made it more of a metal, you know, more like a Dio sounding album. But I also put a lot of songs on there that are ballads and stuff. So it's a mixture of all of it. So I'm really happy with it.
My next question I have for you is, in your opinion, what defines a successful record?
You know, if the artist is happy with it, you know, that's always in the first and foremost, in my opinion, that's the first sign of success. And then if the fans embrace it, you know, if the fans are embracing it and, you know, everybody's kind of all on the same page, they understand it, they see what you're doing, I think that makes it successful. I mean, it doesn't have to necessarily mean millions of record sales, because in this day and age, people just aren't buying millions of records. They're doing a lot of downloading and stuff like that.
Right.
But, you know, I think that really is, as long as you don't put the album on in a year from now and go, man, I wish I would have did this better, that to me, it's a successful album if you don't do that. And knock on wood, I usually don't do that, because I take my time when I make records. You know, I don't just throw stuff out there just to throw it out there and say, hey, I got a new record out. I try and keep it really true to what I'm trying to do with each song.
What was that defining moment in your life that made you want to become a musician?
I mean, at a very young age, I started, you know, doing music. So I was really young, you know. My father was a drummer, and so I was around, exposed to it ever since I can remember. They used to practice at my house. So, you know, it was that. And then, you know, a mixture of just going to concerts when I was a kid and really seeing like Aerosmith and a band called Talas. That's really what did it for me.
Okay. The next track I'd like to talk about is called Broken. Can you give us some history on that one?
That's a great song. I mean, it's got power hit all over it, you know, and I didn't write it like that. It just kind of came together. That song features Rick Fox from Wasp, Steeler. He was in Steeler with Yngwie Malmsteen, and Rick's a great bass player. So it features him, and features Vinny Appice on drums. It's got, of course, Steph on there as well. But yeah, that song is just a powerful song, in my opinion. You know, when I wrote the song, I didn't write it about a love, you know, an affair or whatever breaking up, or a romantic, you know, couple breaking up. I wrote it just about being broken in general. And then we did the video for it in LA. We did it at the Whiskey and then, you know, Sunset and all that. You know, when the video came out, the concept was that it was about a relationship, a failed relationship. And you know, the video came out great. I love it. I'm very, very happy with it. Very professional. But, you know, I want to leave that song open to interpretation. So that was one that really, I mean, can be broken in life. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that you can be broken and you know, you just try and mend yourself.
It just kind of speaks to everybody.
It really does. I mean, you can have, you know, loss of a parent or loss of whatever. And you're just kind of will always be broken. There will always be a part of you that will be always never healed or never mended, you know. So that's really what the song's about.
And here it is, Broken with Jim Crean on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up.
Yeah.
Welcome back. And Jim, you know, like I stated before, after choosing these songs, you know, that song spoke to me just like the rest of them that we're going to play throughout this interview. You know, they're just lyrically, they're amazing. The mix and mastering is amazing. The whole compilation of it is just a great work of art. You know, I hope I don't sound like a robot, but you know, it's really just the truth, brother.
Yeah, man. I'm really happy with it. You know, again, I'm just really,
and Jim,
really,
you know, into it. You know what I want to say to you, man? Even though we hung out last year and I was listening to the music prior to us even meeting. However, you know what? I have seen an extreme amount of growth in you as a musician. You know, several years ago, perhaps, you may have thought that this would have never happened. You know, I mean, I don't know. I'm not speaking for you. But when you start mentioning all these, you know, these names that are high players, it just seems to me that it's getting better and better.
Well, I mean, the more you're out there and the more you're exposed to that level of players, the more, of course, you're going to meet and work with. And that's just, you know, I've been with the Peace Brothers as their singer for about 10 years. And, you know, I'm exposed to some very talented musicians at a very high level.
Right.
So, you know, the more of that you do, the more of that you're going to be exposed to and the more of that you're going to make connections with. So that's really, yeah, I mean, that's going to happen. That's the perfect transition to what you want to do, you know.
Right.
And this album, I brought back a lot of musicians that I used on my last album, Insatiable, but I also brought in a lot of new guys. So doing all that, it just keeps getting better and, you know. That's just kind of the game plan.
Right on. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you had lost the interest in performing? And if so, what did you do to rekindle your passion for it?
No, never.
Never?
Never. I love playing out and love, you know, touring. And I've been doing it since I was a little kid. So, I mean, I don't know any better. I love it. You know? So, no, I've never lost interest in that. I never lost interest in recording. I never lost interest in the whole music. I mean, this is what I do.
Right.
From the moment I wake up to the moment I go to sleep, it's music. I do a lot of music. And, you know, I have a family, too, that I surround myself with as well. I have, you know, a family that is amazing. So I'm very supportive.
And actually, that's going to lead me to my next question. How is it that you balance your music and other obligations, including perhaps children, marriage, whatever it may be? How do you keep that equal balance?
Because I have a very supportive fiance, Colleen, who also plays in my Hair Nation band. So she's 100% supportive of everything I do musically. She's, you know, goes with me out when I go out on tour with the brothers and you know, and of course, plays in the Hair Nation band and all that cool stuff. And my daughters are, they're getting older now, and they're starting to understand what dad does. You know, they see the acolytes and all that type of stuff that comes with it. And they go, okay, well, this is what we do, you know?
Yeah.
And,
I remember meeting Colleen, and she's a wonderful lady. She was so sweet to me. I mean, she really was. And, you know, I'm glad to see that everything is still working out well. And, I hope it continues, brother.
Well, of course. I mean, you know, that's the plan. I mean,
right on. We mentioned something before about, you know, about you love going out and you love, you know, playing gigs. What do you think was one of your most memorable shows?
I mean, I could never. you know, there's been so many. I mean, God, come on. I'm in this crazy business. I will tell you, one of my recent shows that I just did, I was inducted into Buffalo Music Hall of Fame, which was a huge honor for me.
Well, congratulations, man.
Yeah, it was a huge, huge honor for me. You know, I want to thank all those guys, Anthony and Richard Sargent, Danny Nudd, you know, Tom and Robin and the whole staff. It's been great. Eddie Stavridge. I mean, they've been great to me. So I got inducted in the Hall of Fame, and that performance was cool because it was like I did a speech and then I got to do a couple songs, and I got to use my Hair Nation band. You know, Colleen, Dan, you know, my guitar player, Danny Kaplan, 80s Zimmer, and then this was kind of a neat treat. I brought Dave Constantino, the original guitar player from Talis, you know, he's an amazing guitar player. He's also in the Hall of Fame. So he was my guitar player. So that was a really cool gig. It was neat to see all my fans I've made and family over the years. I had my whole family there. My brother flew in from Florida. My daughters were there. Colleen's parents and brother, and it was just a great night. So that was probably one of my highlights in a long time. But I mean, I've had so many great shows, so I don't know. I mean, we played sold out shows in Hollywood and in Vegas and stuff like that, and Montana, and you know, where there's big celebrities out in the crowd, and you know, the last 2 years I played the Heavy Metal Hall of Fame with the Appice Brothers. And I mean, everywhere, anybody from Bill Ward all the way down to you know, whoever was at these things, you know. So there's so many great shows.
Right on. All right, Jim, the next track I'd like to talk about off the album The London Fog is called Loaded. Can you give mm-hmm. me some history on that?
Just a cool tune, you know, just a cool dark power rock song. Okay. It's got Vinny Appice on there, me and Steph. And it's just a really cool tune, you know. Just a song about just, you know, going for it, really is what it is about. It's a power rock song, straightforward power rock song.
It's definitely a power rock song, man. And here it is, Loaded with Jim Crean on Power Rock Podcast. Crank it up. Jim Crean, how do you handle a mistake during a live performance?
you know, just you don't stop and go, you just kind of keep going forward with it, you know.
Okay.
You know, that's what I find to be the best way to do it. You just kind of act like it was part of the song.
<You know? laughs> Right.
Or you just, you know, you mend yourself. Like, you know, I've always thought that, like, if I hit a bad note vocally, the next note's going to be very powerful so that people have amnesia, especially when they're live.
Right.
And they go, you know, they care you hit a clunker, but then the next note's a powerful, powerful note. They go, oh, man, they remember the powerful note, you know.
Exactly. Okay, great answer, man. Next song I'd like to talk about is called Tears. How about some history?
Just another cool tune. That song initially was, what was that called? Snakes and Ladders was what it was initially called. And that was supposed to go on all the way back on the Velvet Crush. Never made it on that album. Then it was going to be on Insatiable. Never made it on that album. Then I got it again. I sent it over to Steph. And Steph came back with the music because Steph's a brilliant musician. He's a keyboard player, guitar player, singer, bass player. He plays it all. So he sent it back, the music back, and it came out really good. And then we got Chris Holmes on there from Wasp. So he was on there, and it came out really good. So, and then I just changed the whole melody and, you know, the vocals a lot. It turned out to be called Tears. So that's that song.
And here it is, Tears with Jim Crean. Crank it up on Power Rock Podcast.
Yeah.
Again, we are back with Jim Crean. And Jim, we're going to go ahead and close the show out. I want to ask you one more question, brother. And
yes.
The question is this. What type of legacy or how do you want to be remembered by your fans when you pass on?
Jesus, that's a weird question. You scared me. Here's the thing. I wanted, you know, just that I was a good guy, true to people, you know, a good friend, you know, a good father, you know, all that. I just, you know, and as far as the fans go, you know, that I always treated them well, you know, and I'll always be the first to stop and sign an autograph or whatever, you know, and take pictures. And I've seen guys shy away from that and kind of shun people. And I never understood that. I never got that, you know, cause I'm a fan of music myself. Right. So, I would always take the time to stop and take a picture and with the fans and autograph and all that stuff. So I just want to be remembered that I was that guy that, you know, was never thought he was above the people that put him where he's at, you know.
As many interviews that I have done, you know, bro, I think the key is always to remain humble.
Absolutely.
Arrogant, when you start getting arrogant and cocky and won't sign a CD for a fan because you're in a hurry, you know, that fan is the one who got you where you were.
Yeah, I mean, I see people, you know, they charge you to sign their CDs that you had just bought from them from the merch table and things like that. You know, no, that's not me. I'm not that guy. You know, we play all the time and people come up to me with printed out pictures of that they printed out from wherever. And, you know, I take the time I signed it. And I've seen guys say, you know, well, where'd you get that from? Well, you know what? I'm not signing that because you didn't buy it from me. I've seen that in this business. And it's like, wow.
I believe
you know,
it.
I've signed napkins for Christ's sakes. I mean, people come up and say, could you sign this napkin at our merch table when we're, you know, when people are buying stuff, you know, so I of course I'm going to sign your napkin. I'm going to sign your flyer, set list, whatever. That's just the way it is. And the fans are the ones, the most important thing that puts you, if you're going to be in music and to do it professionally, I mean, you can do, there's a lot of people that do music and they play, you know, and just have fun with it. And that's fine. That's great. But if you get to the next level where you're doing it professionally, you're touring and selling records and making records, you know, you got to remember the fans are the only thing that's going to have you survive doing that. Without the fans, you're putting out records to nobody. You
exactly.
Know what I mean?
Exactly. Great answer.
And so I'm always the first to take the time, you know, and take pictures with them all and do all that stuff. I've never shunned away from that ever. So never will.
And that's it. That's great. You, like you said, you know, you're keeping your humility, you're keeping it real. And you know, you're showing your appreciation. What more could anybody ask?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's part of the game,
right.
But I do want to shout out to a lot of the guys who played on the record, if you don't mind while we're wrapping this up, because again, I'm very humble when it comes to this stuff because these guys really made the album as great as it is, in my opinion. Again, Steph Hond, French guitar player, is amazing. He plays in a band called Hollywood Monsters. In return, I sang on his new album that's coming out. It's pick that one up. My friend Mike Tramp, you know, you guys would know Mike from, he was in White Lion, had a bunch of big hits with that band. Mike's probably one of the most humble, down-to-earth guys you're ever going to meet in the business. And I learned a lot from him to be that way because he treats his fans like he's, you know, friends with them. You know what I mean? And I like that approach because he's a very down-to-earth and true person. Rudy Sarzo was on this record, did a great job on the opening track. Carmen Appice, Vinnie Appice, Frank Demino, like I said, Tony Franklin, Rick Fox from Wasp and Steeler did a great job. Colleen Mastercova, my fiance's on it. She played on a couple tracks, did an amazing job. She played on one of my favorite songs on the record. And honestly, I think it's my favorite song on the record because the way she played it, her drum beat really fit what we were trying to think, the mood. It's a power ballad. Robbie Lochner from Jack Russell's Great White was also in Fight with Rob Halford, Tears It Up. A.D. Zimmer, he was in Lou Gramm. He's currently in Hair Nation with me. Oh, this is a good one. Ray Tabano was in Aerosmith, the original guitar player from Aerosmith.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's on it, and he's amazing. Artie Dillon, this guy is a monster guitar player. He plays with me in the Appice band, the Appice Brothers Drum Wars band. I'm actually going to be going on a tour with him next week and for a couple weeks. And Artie's amazing. So me and him wrote a song for the record together, and then we got ready to play on it. Baron Kubris, he's bass player, monster. He plays with Blind Guardian in Europe. He's a European guy, phenomenal bass player. Ronnie Robinson, another great bass player, plays in Hollywood Monsters, great bass player. Eric Labelli, French drummer, did a great job. Chris Tristram, the bass player for House of Lords, he was also in Jack Russell's Great White. Chris Holmes from Wasp. Chris Konya is another great, great musician all the way around. Musician, can play everything. He wrote a song with me on this, and he played bass on this song. Dave Pentrello, studio guy. Freddie Villano, he's a bass player from Dee Snider's Widowmaker, and he also was in Quiet Riot. Did a great job. Carl Kennedy from The Rods. I mean, Carl is one of the most criminally underrated drummers out there. You know, I'm fortunate enough to get to play with Vinny and Carmine. Carl's right up there with these guys. I mean, Carl's just a monster on the drums and a great guy. That's the whole thing. When I talk about how great these guys are musicians, they're all great guys too, you know. And I try and surround myself with good people. And then the last but not least, Mr. Mitch Perry from Michael Schenker Group. He's just a phenomenal guitar player. He really did a great job. All the artwork was done by Jeff DeBury. He did a great job. And, of course, produced by Steve Major and executive produced by Steve Sussman. So that's pretty much everybody involved in the record. And I'm really happy with it. And go pick it up.
Absolutely. And I'm... You know, like I stated, Jim, I am I'm honored again to have had this opportunity to do this interview. And I just want to say to you, my friend, that I wish you the utmost success, brother, in all that you do.
We're in such a weird place right now for music. It's, you know, it's just, it's hit or miss. But, you know, as long as we survive in it and we're still out there making records and doing what we believe in, I think that's your prayers answered right there.
Awesome, man. All right. Well, there it is, an interview with Jim Crean. I am Jim Madonna, your host, the Far Rock Podcast. We're going to play one more song. This one here is called Passion. Peace.
you need.